Just start with your name and your age and your hometown.
Milton E. Schultz, and born and raised in Canova, South Dakota. And what the hell, I'm 88, I guess. And
What unit were you in? What branch of the service?
in the Coast Guard, we was on the USS Glendale. It was like a destroyer escort when he was just a little larger, and they were called frigates. And we had to, our duty was submarine and any aircraft, and doing convoy duty.
And what was the highest rank?
My rank, well, at that time, I was a coxswain. That's like a third class boatswain mate, but we just got, then the second was second class boatswain, but I was coxswain.
And I kind of interrupted you, but tell us a little bit about the ship and the mission the ship was on.
The mission, we like what, like doing submarines and anti-aircraft. And our first deal, we run across the, we met a troop ship going one way, and there was a submarine following it, and we got in contact with it, soon gear, and we was working on drop depth charges, and I think we raised hell with them. I don't know if we, anyway, I think we got a sunk it, but we was working on for a, oh hell, I don't know, 5 6 hours probably.
Trying to track it, a German sub that was in a Japanese.
Yeah, Japanese out in the Pacific.
And then endangering a troop ship, taking
Yeah,
troops over.
it was following a troop ship, and we got in contact with it as that deal there, and then we went on our mission and did convoy duty. Well, we did a lot of submarine and aircraft, doing patrolling different islands and air bases out there in the Pacific. And then when we're doing a convoy duty, we was going into oh, that what's that base there going into oh, I can't. Oh, I can't think of that. It was one of the last ones. And convoy and the suicide planes came out of the clouds, and they sunk one of our ships as we went in to, at least we was told it later, it was sunk, and was going to take it into. I'm trying to think of that. Oh, island where we went into. It was the last island there.
In the Pacific.
In the Pacific, yeah. And I can't just recall. I think it was Leyte. Next to that, where we went, it was supposed to go in. And then we just. That went on that year after year, different things, and then we wound up going through the canal. They said we had there was subs loose over there in the Atlantic, but they wound up going into Boston, and I don't know. They come to a conclusion that there's going to turn the ship over to the Russian lend-lease deal. Well, then we went to come back.
You were going to turn your ship over to
Yeah,
the Russians for the lend-lease.
lend-lease deal. So we went through the canal again. And when we was in canal, President had passed away, President Roosevelt, as we's come back. And then we got through into the Pacific, and they had the day of rest there for Roosevelt, and there's a couple of minutes of silence, and we was afloat there a while, and then we went into Seattle, and loaded up with all the with food and different things of ammunition and stuff. Went into Cold Bay, Alaska. And the Russians came and we worked with them for, I don't know, it was a week or 2 weeks, and then we went back to Cold Bay, Alaska, and they flew us into a Navy base there out there in Alaska, and then we caught another ship going into back to Seattle. So we laid in Juneau, in Alaska, which is a beautiful city, and I always kind of planned on going back there to see it again, but I never did. And we went back in Seattle, and we laid in there for a while, and then eventually the time went on and went up going into St. Louis. And then from St. Louis, I didn't have enough. It went by, what was it? It wasn't old enough to get out yet. I mean, time enough, and wound up going to Pittsburgh. And there was a picket boat that was supposed to be decommissioned. So I changed with another guy to, he was on that, he had another year to serve there, and he liked the base very well. And we talked to the officer in charge, and he said that it'd be all right. So we exchanged, and I got on that picket boat, and the machinist mate and myself, we took it down the Ohio River, and then into St. Louis, and up the Mississippi into St. Louis, and laid in there, and wound up taking it back down through the Mississippi, and went into some base there off, can't recall it this time, what the name of that place was where we dropped the picket boat off, and caught a bus and went back to St. Louis. Later on, I got my discharge out of there and come on home.
And what years did you serve then? Is it
from 40 till 40? I got out in 46.
So it was 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Almost 6 years. If it had been in May, it had been 6 years.
And how did you end up in the Coast Guard?
Oh, a friend of mine, I was home, and he come over to me, and he says to me, well, let's go and join the Coast Guard. And I said, okay, I was ready. And we went, we had to go into Omaha, and we enlisted. And I remember the officer in charge, he says, if you guys, now I don't know if he figured we wasn't going overseas or what, but I knew guys that were in, they generally were on Coast Guard cutters out in Alaska. And I figured I knew dang well we'd be going eventually. And so when we got back, he was drafted, and I know he asked me, he said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm still in the service, I ain't drafted, and I'm going in. And so I wound up, and there was 112 of us. We was the first ones to go into the Alameda base. And that was on the History Channel here about a year ago. We was the first ones to get in there, and then I had duty.
And your friend got drafted into a different branch of the service?
He was drafted in the Army, yeah.
He hadn't actually enlisted yet then in the Coast Guard?
He had enlisted, but then it hadn't gone through yet. And when we got back, he was drafted, so he was had it. And so that's the way. Then when I came back, I met him, and I said, well, how'd you make? Well, he said, it did pretty good. But to this day, I said, I think I'll still take the ship. I loved it. We had a rough times and all that, but I don't know. It was still darn good.
What were the roughest times when some of the kamikaze planes would be coming out for Japanese pilots?
And some of the high waters and rough waters, but then... That the worst part was the commissaries and the Japs. I remember when that first Jap came around, I was on number one gun, and I could still see the white of his eye. And I was asking the guy, that's, when the hell are you going to holler fire? And he says, well, I haven't heard the orders. God, I got so unhappy. I said, what if they just hit somebody up there, and what you'd have done then? But anyway, that's the way it went. And but I know when we used to shell the beach and stuff, and when our open fire on planes, the first thing I did, I put cotton in my ears, and that one round that blew out right away, and it was so hard on my ears that it was something terrible. Them 3-inch 50s were awful sharp.
So what is it like? There's sound and there's explosions and things going off all around you.
Yeah, it's hard to, I'll tell you, something else, and pretty hard on your ears and stuff. And a concussion, our laundry had gone, went to hell. I don't know, they had a problem with it, so they was hanging some of the laundry outside, and by the time we was done, it was all shredded to hell. There was nothing left of it. And I know we had a box there, when a lot of times we in base, we'd set the movie deal on that, and I know the concussion broke that all the piece. There was nothing left.
The projector?
Yeah.
Well, how long would you be out at sea?
Oh, we was out, we could probably damn near a month or better, or we'd run short of food, and we started going in. As far as getting fuel, well, that sometimes there'd be ships out there we could pull alongside and get fuel, but then we used to go in the base and then load up with some food and stuff.
Was it like long periods of boredom interrupted by sheer terror, or how, what was it like day to day?
Well, we was out doing submarine patrolling and stuff, and that's the reason we was out. We'd be out some, probably going some around some air base or area, in different areas they had us doing submarine patrolling and all that. And we didn't get to, once in a while, well, when we'd pull in like Cold Bay, Hollandia, New Guinea, why we'd be in there for a little bit and get a little time off and probably have a beer or so, and that would be about it.
What, did you ever get injured?
Nope. Got out of there in good shape without getting injured or getting hit by anything, and I guess we was damn lucky. I talked it over. I still used to hear from one of my friends, and he'd call me so often. Then I hadn't heard from him long, and here about 2 weeks ago, I called him, and he wasn't in too good a shape. He lives out there in San Francisco area, and we used to keep in pretty good contact. He used to call me all the time, and so I thought I'd give him a call, and then he didn't sound all that pert. So, and I think I was one of the older ones, because he was, what did he say, he was 80, I think he said he was 85. Of course, I was 88 now. And when we turned the ship over to the Russians, we worked with them. Well, we loaded up at Seattle, Washington, and loaded up with food and gear and ammunition and what have you, and went into Kobe, Alaska, and met the Russians there, and they come aboard ship, and we went out with them, and they were really nice guys to deal with. They felt young fellas were. So, and like I said, what we said, they ate pretty good for a while.
Were there many people from the Midwest in the Coast Guard?
Yeah. Well, you take now, like when we got out of Omaha, that was guys from Iowa and Nebraska, and there was two of us from South Dakota, myself, and then there was Indian from Faith, South Dakota.
Were some people surprised that you served during the war in the Coast Guard? Or was that generally pretty well known at that point?
Well, sure it is. You took these landing boats that took these servicemen, that was manned by a lot of by Coast Guard, these smaller ships that took the Army and Marines into the base. That was manned by Coast Guard.
What's the difference between the Coast Guard and the Navy, do you know?
It wasn't much then. We was under the Navy Department, had the same uniform, only thing we had our Coast Guard shield on our right arm. That was it.
All pressed into duty, I suppose. Yeah. You needed everybody you could.
And a lot of the Coast Guard manned their own. They was on troop ships. It was all Coast Guard. That's the way that worked.
How did the experience change you, do you think?
What do you mean?
Did it change your life, or did it change your outlook on life?
Oh, somewhat. And you kind of got back into it. And outside of that, I would take the ship any day than being the Army. At least we could, the guys would say, well, what you do when you get sunk? Well, like we used to say, well, I guess we'd go down with it and walk out. Didn't have much choice, I guess.
In the ship you were on, did you lose people on that ship?
No. Everything was fine. We never lost a member. And we never got hit. We was real lucky. And everything went fine.
What did you do after the war then?
When I got out, what the hell did I do?
Return back to South Dakota?
Oh, yeah. I wound up going up there at Howard. And time went on, and eventually I started working for my cousin. I went into Carnival, and well, that was before I went on. No, I did trucking and stuff, too. Okay. Yeah.
Truck driver?
Yeah. Different things, and when I got my when I got married, when I said I'm gonna get, she says, well, don't get married then if you're gonna be on a truck. So I wound up here in Sioux Falls. I worked for Culligan's. That's in the over here now. Yeah, I worked for Culligan's for I don't know, was it a year, and then. I got a call from going to Morrell's. Well, when I don't know, I didn't do something right. And when I wanted to get to Morrell's, I stayed there I sat there a while and didn't get an answer. And I said, the hell with it. And I came home and I went to work for over there, some of that truck outfit there off of 10th Street. We was loading. We got worked night crew. 90 cents an hour we got. I'm trying to think of that damn all. But they wound up, and then it was all American. They moved over towards the west part there.
Uploading trucks.
Yeah. But then I got out of there, and I went worked for Cap and Tires for Thor Christensen. Cap and Tires and repairing tires and tractor tires. And I worked there until he wound up, and he said he was going to do a little fishing. He was going to go Aberdeen first. He come back, and he never came back. He went fishing, and somehow he fell out and drowned it. And really, to this day, I don't know just exactly what happened. And then the son-in-law took over a while, and then... finally decided to sell the equipment, and then another guy bought the equipment. He asked me if I would help set it up and run it. And I says, well, I guess I could. And meantime, I had a little time off, and I worked at Messenger Tire for a little bit, and I went back and set his deal up and worked there, and then he went bankrupt, and I wound up going back to Messenger Tire. And then there's a friend of mine worked Dakota Auto Parts. And I got in over there and did some capping over there. Well, then he sold out, and there it was, and I took helped tear the equipment out, and I was through there, and I wound up going to Kmart. And that's where I ended.
That's quite an adventure, too. Thank you. Anything else?
And that's about it, I guess.
Great. Thank you. That's